Well, welcome. We did a little different order that time, so welcome to Life Community Church. My name's Greg Elliott, and I'm the grand poobah or interim pastor, whatever you want to call me. So, yeah. So during this time of transition, we're actually doing a three-week series that we're calling Doing Church. It's not totally based on this book, but this gives us kind of the framework of doing church when we come together, and we're looking at that over the next 3 weeks. Actually, next week will be our last week, as we have our congregational meeting. Thank you very much. I've struggled with that for several weeks now. So as we have that, then we're going to actually look at our vision and values actually next week. But I wanted to kind of review a little bit of what Rick had talked about last week. And last week, Rick kind of opened up our series here, and he spoke about the big church, the big picture church, you know, called just the body of Christ as we come together, that we are called out. So we are called out as a people with Jesus Christ as our head to do the work of Christ here in the world. And he went through really 3 points during his sermon as he really presented Jesus Christ. And it's really focused on Jesus, and that is that Christ is our foundation. If you remember, he talked about that Christ said, "I am the truth," and that basically Christ is bringing truth to the distortion that the world has, that there's this distortion of a view that the world has of things about the world. And as a matter of fact, that reality is not just the physical things, but the one thing they don't get right is that reality is spiritual and the physical things, that is the reality, and that's the truth that Christ brings. Christ also is the focus, is our focus. He is the way. Jesus is the way to the truth and the way to eternal life, so that as a church, we should the world should look at us, and we should be pointing the whole world to Jesus Christ. And so whenever Christ says, "I am the way," he's saying, he is the way to eternal life. He is the way that we live out in the kingdom of God. And then finally, Jesus is our form. And this is where he says, "I am the life." Jesus is the head, and we, as his church, are the body. And now I'm looking at Rick, and I'm thinking, gosh, I really hope I got this right. Okay, thanks. I should have gone over this with you before I showed it. But the Holy Spirit takes the body of Christ, that's us right here, distributes gifts around. We look different. I cannot play the guitar the way that David plays. I cannot sing the way Jason sings. I cannot even have the compassion that I see Brenda has for people. I cannot do the things. I don't have the wisdom and the knowledge that maybe Arlene or Gail have, that we bring these gifts together, and Jesus Christ is the head, and then we go out into his kingdom, and we all are needed together. That's the picture of the church that is the universal church. And our flavor of church looks a little bit different than the flavor of the church down the road. And so we have these things that are combined together. So as we're doing the stuff of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, we live out our life. And so with this, as we come together as the body of Christ, the one thing that I was thinking about is, you know, when we come together, I think it's important to think about, what do we believe? Like, what do we really believe in? So that's what we're going to cover this week in this sermon today. And so, you know, even last week we saw the importance of this. And one of the scriptures that Rick shared, it was Matthew 16:13-16. And Jesus is saying, is in this situation. And when Jesus came to the region, it says, in Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "you, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Do you see that there? I mean, basically, Jesus was asking his disciples, he said, "Look, what do you believe about me? That's going to really matter here. What do you believe about me?" And I think it's important as a church that we start to look at, you know, in this next we just take a Sunday and say, you know, what do we really believe? And so that's what I want to cover today, is really, what do we believe? You know, I remember I was trying to think of an illustration to get home the point, like how important it is to think about what you believe. And what I came up with, and we'll see if this works or not, Jeanette and I, okay, so we grew up and we knew each other in ninth grade in a church camp, and we kind of stayed in touch with one another over the years through college. We used to send each other these things called toilet teagrams. It's not as gross as you think. It's so we would take toilet paper and we would actually write little messages to each other, and then we would send them back and forth. And so she moved to Ohio, where I was going to school. I was in graduate school at that time. We had this kind of friendship, this quirky friendship. She came to one of the Bible studies that I was leading there, and she was working with Youth for Christ, and she said, hey, I need some guys to help me out. Would you come and help us out with Youth for Christ? I said, sure. And so we started doing ministry together, and during that time, you know, there was a certain thing I believed about our relationship, and I remembered there was this point where I go, you know, I could really like her, you know? I think she might be the one, yeah, you know? And so, and I still remember this. You kind of have that uncomfortable, like when it goes from friendship to dating things, you know, and you start to actually believe something about them. You know, is she going to feel the same way about me? Does she really feel, or am I going to get the, oh no, we're good friends, you know? And when I started to believe that she would first be my girlfriend, then she would be my fiance, and now that I believe that she's my wife, right? Yeah, okay, got that one right. That belief actually causes some actions in our lives. So that what I believe about my relationship with Jeanette really causes me to have actions as I live out that relationship in the world. And so that's why I want to look at today, really, what we believe. And I must admit that I struggled with this sermon. Usually I have an idea of what I'm going to do, have it outlined like about Tuesday and stuff, and then I'm working on slides, put things together. This week I went out and I met with Rick, and I said, Rick, I'm having so much trouble. What do we believe? You know, I'm trying to, you know, I know what we believe is like putting this together so that people will understand it and will track with me. And we went out to JT Walker's, and we were sitting there and we felt like, it's like, are you Tolkien and I'm C.S. Lewis, or which one is it? You know, we just felt like, you know, we were there talking about theology and stuff. It was a blast. And then I was just struggling, and God finally said, hey, why don't you ask your wife? And I thought, oh, I could do that. And then Jeanette said, this is what you should do. And I go, yeah, that's a good idea. So that's what we're going to do. So it just took me a week to get there, so apologize for that. But anyways, let me pray, and then we're going to get into what we believe, okay? Father God, I just thank you so much, just how you carried me through this message. And I just really pray that it makes sense, that it really helps us to consider what we believe as followers of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, worshiping a heavenly Father that we consider ourselves to be sons and daughters of. Lord, I just pray that as we look in detail what we believe, that it would touch hearts, change lives, and cause us to act in a different way than we did when we came in here, in Christ's name. Amen. So, how do we cover all of these things? Everything that you believe. I tried a couple different approaches. I tried to section things off, make it a little more simple. Then I thought, hey, we have this wonderful thing called a statement of faith. Okay? Now, I thought, how can I cover a statement of faith? We have 12 points in our statement of faith. It's on the web. You can go on the web, and we have a statement of faith. And I tried to section it out, I tried to simplify it, and I'm like, look, I just got to read the statement of faith, just so that you know what we believe here at Life Community Church. And I thought, if I just read this, actually, when I was typing, and Jeanette, we were at the table, I fell asleep. Okay, so I need to do this in a little more exciting way. So with that, who do I bring excitement into my life? Yeah, Jeanette, right. So this is 12 statements of faith in 7 minutes by two Eliots and a partridge in a pear tree. Okay, so here we go. So what I'm going to do is we're actually going to spend, and we tried it. It takes 7 minutes for us to get through the statement of faith. So you will look at, this is what we believe as a church, and we've never done this before. Okay, so I'm going to start off, and we'll see how this works. Are you ready, Jeanette? Okay, you got my back?
I think so.
Is she on? Okay, there we go. Okay, we're going to go through this. Number one, God exists in three persons of one substance known as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We believe that God is the eternal King. He is an infinite, unchangeable spirit, perfect in holiness, wisdom, goodness, justice, power, and love. From all eternity, he exists as the one living and true God in three persons of one substance, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in power and glory.
God is the creator and ruler of all things.
We believe that God's kingdom is everlasting. From his throne, through his Son, his eternal word, God created, upholds, and governs all that exists. The heavenly places, the angelic host, the universe, the earth, every living thing and human beings, God created all things very good.
There is a counterfeit kingdom, Satan and demonic hosts.
We believe that Satan, originally a great good angel, rebelled against God, taking a host of angels with him. He was cast out of God's presence and, as a usurper of God's rule, established a counter kingdom of darkness and evil on the earth.
The creation, the fall, and the doctrine of original sin.
We believe that God created mankind in his image, male and female, for relationship with himself and to govern the earth. Under the temptation of Satan, our original parents fell from grace, bringing sin, sickness, and God's judgment of death to the earth. Through the fall, Satan and his demonic host gained access to God's good creation. Creation now experiences the consequences and effects of Adam's original sin. Human beings are born in sin, subject to God's judgment and death, and captive to Satan's kingdom of darkness.
God's providence, the law, and the covenants.
We believe that God did not abandon his rule over the earth, which he continues to uphold by his providence. In order to bring redemption, God established covenants which revealed his grace to sinful people. In the covenant with Abraham, God bound himself to his people Israel, promising to deliver them from bondage to sin and Satan and to bless all the nations through them.
Christ is the mediator and eternal King.
We believe that in the fullness of time, God honored his covenants with Israel and his prophetic promises of salvation by sending his Son, Jesus, into the world. Conceived by the Holy Spirit and born by the Virgin Mary as fully God and fully human in one person, he is humanity as God intended us to be. Jesus was anointed as God's Messiah and empowered by the Holy Spirit, inaugurating God's kingdom, reign on earth, overpowering the reign of Satan by resisting temptation, preaching the good news of salvation, healing the sick, casting out demons, and raising the dead. Gathering his disciples, he reconstituted God's people as his church to be the instrument of his kingdom. After dying for the sins of the world, Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, fulfilling the covenant of blessing given to Abraham. In his sinless, perfect life, Jesus met the demands of the law, and in his atoning death on the cross, he took God's judgment of sin, which we deserve as lawbreakers. By his death on the cross, he also disarmed the demonic powers. The covenant with David was fulfilled in Jesus' birth from David's house, his messianic ministry, his glorious resurrection from the dead, his ascent into heaven, and his present rule at the right hand of the Father. As God's Son and David's heir, he is the eternal Messiah King, advancing God's reign throughout every generation and throughout the whole earth today.
The ministry of the Holy Spirit.
We believe that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church at Pentecost in power, baptizing believers into the body of Christ and releasing the gifts of the Spirit to them. The Spirit brings the permanent indwelling, presence of God to us for spiritual worship, personal sanctification, building up the church, gifting us for ministry, and driving back the kingdom of Satan by the evangelization of the world through proclaiming the word of Jesus and doing the works of Jesus. We believe that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer in Jesus Christ and that he is our abiding helper, teacher, and guide. We believe in the filling of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, often a conscious experience for ministry today. We believe in the present ministry of the Spirit and in the exercise of all the biblical gifts of the Spirit. We practice the laying on of hands for the empowering of the Spirit for healing and for recognition and empowering those whom God has ordained to lead and serve the church.
The sufficiency of Scripture.
We believe that the Holy Spirit inspired human authors of Holy Scripture so that the Bible is without error in the original manuscripts. We receive the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments as our final, absolute authority, the only infallible rule of faith and practice.
The power of the gospel over the kingdom of darkness.
We believe that the whole world is under the domination of Satan and that all people are sinners by nature and choice. All people, therefore, are under God's just judgment. Through the preaching of the good news of Jesus and the kingdom of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, God regenerates, justifies, adopts, and sanctifies through Jesus, by the Spirit, all who repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. By this, they are released from Satan's domain and enter into God's kingdom reign.
The church is the instrument of the kingdom of God.
We believe in the one holy universal church. All who repent of their sins and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior are regenerated by the Holy Spirit and form the living body of Christ, of which he is the head and of which we are all members.
Baptism and the Lord's Supper.
We believe that Jesus Christ committed two ordinances to the church, water baptism and the Lord's Supper. Both are available to all believers.
The kingdom of God and the final judgment.
We believe that God's kingdom has come in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it continues to come in the ministry of the Spirit through the church, and that it will be consummated in the glorious, visible, and triumphant appearing of Christ, his return to earth as king. After Christ returns to reign, he will bring about the final defeat of Satan and all his minions and works, the resurrection of the dead, the final judgment, and the eternal blessing of the righteous and eternal conscious punishment of the wicked. Finally, God will be all in all in his kingdom. His rule and reign will be fulfilled in the new heavens and the new earth, recreated by his mighty power in which righteousness dwells and in which he will forever be worshipped.
That is what this church was founded on in beliefs. Whenever we started this church, and I forgot, there's your partridge in a pear tree. Okay. So this is what we believe. If you go on our website, you can hit our website, About Us. It's right there, Statement of Faith. And we've actually got all the scripture that went with those beliefs that we have. I must also say that many of us, when we started this church, came from the Vineyard Movement, the Vineyard Movement denomination, whichever it is. and so this statement of faith, you will find, is identical to the statement of faith at the National Vineyard. So this comes from their website. And so we believe the things that was stated there. So that kind of, I know that that's a little much to just read a statement of faith, but I think it's important as we start to consider what we believe, because, you know, that belief is now carried not just in this church, right, in this building. We don't just believe those things here, and then we walk out the door and we believe something else, right? These beliefs that we've stated here, if you agree with them, or if you want to parse some of them, these beliefs actually we take from here, and where it really, really matters too is when we go outside of here and we interact with the world. These beliefs are something that we should believe in, not just here, but beyond Sundays. And so the next thing that I want to do is really just think about, what do we do with these beliefs? It should cause us to not just have these ideas about God, but it should really cause us to action. Let me share a verse here with you, a few verses. This is in Matthew chapter 22. And this was when the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, they and Jewish in Jesus' time, they kind of were at each other because of their belief system. And Jesus had put down the Sadducees right before this, and the Pharisees were feeling like, hey, maybe Jesus is our guy. So the Pharisees come to Jesus and they ask this question. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducee, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So in these two commandments, we really see what our beliefs should do. You know, if we look at our beliefs, we should be able to do these two commandments, right? They should line up. In other words, we should be able to look at what we believe and say our relationship in the vertical with God, that should be contained within our beliefs. And it should cause some action, some ideas. Those beliefs that we have should also be in the horizontal with others, that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. And so it should cause something as we relate to one another. And so these are the greatest commands. So, you know, I'm a scientist by nature, or I don't know, by choice or by failing at English, I don't know. But I'm a scientist, so I like to test things, all right? So let's look at our beliefs, what we believe, and let's first look at the vertical. You know, do our beliefs say something about how we should relate to God? And we could take many things about our beliefs and do this, but let's just consider one thing. Let's consider the Trinity. How often do we talk about the Trinity? Okay, not too often. Okay, this is in our belief. So in our beliefs, we believe that the essence of one God is made up of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that these three persons are equal and in relationship with one another. You know, I was investigating this, trying to understand the mystery of the Trinity, right? So I started reading some different things. And I found this quote by C.S. Lewis that is such a beautiful quote, a beautiful idea. You know, the Trinity is a mystery to us, right? It really is, you know, to understand God. He's given us certain abilities and we get so far. But C.S. Lewis made this point that I'd never heard before. And he basically says, what happens when we go and say God is love? When we say that statement, you know, in 1 John 4:8, and I may even look at it today. I'm thinking about whether I want to read that one. But 1 John 4:8, it says that God is love, right? Now think about this. Love can only happen whenever there's more than one person, right? You got to have more than one person to have love. And this is what C.S. Lewis has said about this. He said, when people say God is love, I think what they mean is extremely important, or that God really wants us to love. But in the Christian conception, God really has love as his essence. If he was just one person, he couldn't have been loving for all eternity. Think about that. If God is love, and if God has existed for all eternity, he couldn't exist that if he was just one person. If he was only impersonal, all soul of the Eastern thought, he couldn't have been loving, for love is something that persons do. So think about that. This tells us a little bit about that vertical relationship with God. And I think I will read, I was kind of toying with whether I should read this. This is a great passage. It's in 1 John, sorry, I don't have the slide here. 1 John, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7. And 1 John, it says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because," and here's the statement, "because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we love him, and he is in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Do you kind of see what they're saying, what John is saying there? He's saying, you know, what exists is the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father in this relationship. And then God looks at humanity, God looks at us and says, I want you in this relationship. We've had this relationship for eternity. I want you to be in this relationship with us. And so he sends Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Mediator, so that we can have a relationship with God. Romans says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So in other words, we've gone from being against God, enemies of God, to where now we're his sons and daughters. That's what we believe. That's part of what we believe in the Trinity. But we also see that that love goes out. And so there's also this horizontal relationship that we should see. So our belief should also really relate, really tell us how to relate to one another. And so let's look at another one of our beliefs and really consider how that tells us to relate to others. So another one of our beliefs is that there is a counterfeit kingdom, that the people around us, the people out in the world, as we would go out to this parking lot, that apartment over there, as we would go down to IGA, we may find some people that are in this counterfeit kingdom. They're there. They're right there. There's one walking across the parking lot right now that is in a counterfeit kingdom. You know, and so our beliefs, what they say in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I mean, look at this right there. That person pushing that cart right now may not know Jesus Christ. Right there, right in front of us. Can't we do something? I mean, can't we go out and say, this is not the kingdom that God wants you in? You're blind. The kingdom of this world has blinded you. This is what we get to do. We get to go and present to those people right there that Jesus Christ came so that we could have a relationship with God the Father, and so that we could be called children of God. So that we could go from being slaves to be free, so that we could redeem the broken out there. You know, sometimes I think that we forget what it's like to be lonely and to really not have that relationship. We kind of forget what is it like to be redeemed. What is it like to go from slavery to son and daughtership? What's it like to be blinded, to not know that God exists, to not know that there is something, someone there that loves you all the time. You know, I think I've got a video to show you today that will really, I just want to remind you what redemption is about. This thing that we get to do horizontally with people as we introduce them to Jesus Christ. So let's watch this video here real quick, and then I'll just have a few more comments.
Struggle haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight. It's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Remember? Do you remember being blind and not knowing what to do? Can I push into you a little bit today? I mean, I don't want to make you feel guilty. I don't want to make you feel like you don't do enough or anything like that. But there's people out there that need our beliefs. That are blind, and we can introduce them to our Savior. I mean, that's not a bad day, you know. And you may say, you know, the next time that, like, you're at the office and someone tells you about that problem or that struggle that they're going through, remember that they're looking at their problem through blind eyes. They don't see what God could do for them. And if you hear that problem, it's great to show them love, to show them compassion, and to comfort them. But instead of just consoling them, which we need to do, could you offer Jesus to them? I mean, just, and I mean the simplest of prayer. You know I'm about low just expectations and low risks. You know, could we just introduce them to the Redeemer. I am not the Redeemer. You're not the Redeemer, but we can introduce you to them. You know, you might say something like this: I don't know how to fix your problem, how to help you change, but Jesus has helped me, and I think he could help you. Jesus, please help. We can't do this on our own. That's the prayer. That's their first prayer. Jesus, please help. We can't do this on our own. So today I just want to end, you know, with this. And, you know, if you're struggling with something, we've got some people here that'll pray for you, and that's for sure. If you're struggling with anything, we want to help you out with that. We want to make sure that we see God and the Holy Spirit to empower a situation. I'm also going to be up here. If there's anyone that wants to take that step to say, look, I want to do more in this life, then just come into church here. I want to do something out there. I want to pray for you. I want to lay my hands on you, to pray that the Holy Spirit just uses you in that situation you're going to see this week. Okay, with that, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the reminder of your redemption, your reminder that our beliefs don't just stay in here, but they go outside these walls. And I just really pray that as we do that, that you would just call us and just remind us, Lord, I pray that you would put that reminder in our heart that when we hear something from a blind person, we will introduce them to the person that can give them sight. And that's you. And so, Father God, I just ask that as we go outside these walls, we would take our beliefs with us and that we would introduce them in the love that you have for them. In Christ's name, amen. Have a good week this week. If you do want any prayer of any kind about anything, we'd be glad to pray for you. I'm sure Gail and Arlene will be here. And have a good week. Thanks for coming.